On Christmas Eve, I preached at the 11:15 service, and I talked about the controversial nativity scene that was displayed in Madame Tussauds about 10 or 11 years ago. Don't know if you saw it or heard of it, but it starred Victoria and David Beckham as Mary and Joseph. And the wise men who we're thinking about today, they chose Tony Blair, George Bush, and the late Duke of Edinburgh. But I wonder what you think of those wise men, and who might be our wise men today? I talked on Christmas Eve about how this image could not be further from the truth of the Nativity story, which is not about the rich and the famous, but about how God chooses to come into this world in the form of a poor, displaced, oppressed human being to meet us in our dark and poor places. This God that we are following is the God of surprises. She does not work in the way we expect her to. Her work is always about subverting the social norms, about turning what we think we know on its head, and showing us a way that is far more wonderful than we can imagine. And as we are beckoned into this story, we're challenged to think about our own lives and how the birth of this child changes us and therefore the world around us. The wise men only feature in this one account in the Gospel of Matthew. There's not a lot about them, really. We know that they came from the east. They arrive at night to see the child. They present their meaningful gifts. They worship him, and then they disappear again, being careful to go a different route so they don't go back to Herod. Their presence in Matthew's Gospel kind of feels a little bit at odds with everything else going on. Their presence is there to signal the otherness of Jesus's ministry. Jesus has come to preach the good news to the outcasts and condemnation to the corrupt leaders of the temple and the palace. It is not the local folk to whom Christ, God with us, is revealed, but to these wise men from the east, foreigners, strangers, outsiders, who were able to interpret dreams and interrogate the night sky and understand the signs they saw. And it is these outsiders who act, who travel a long way to see God among us before many even know that he has arrived. Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews and the Gentiles. Matthew starts his gospel by showing a contrast between the Gentiles and the Jewish secular religious leaders. The Magi come and they kneel in worship and offer gifts to this new king, while King Herod plots to kill him. Matthew wants to show throughout his gospel that the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus and oppressed him, but the Gentiles accepted him. Our reading from Ephesians emphasizes that the gospel is for the good of all, not just the religious elite or the powerful or the rich, but God's kingdom comes to welcome all into the redeeming love and grace of the Creator. The wise men expect the Christ to be found in Herod's palace, and after all, that is where you would expect to find a king. But their mistake serves to emphasize the failures of the authorities in Jerusalem to recognize the God in their midst, even when they have the benefit of being the supposed chosen people with access to the scriptures and the prophecies. Even as Jesus grows up and begins his ministry, they still fail to recognize him. They fail to see God as he is very present with them, even though it says in Luke that they have seen and heard, that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. They still don't recognize him. I wonder in what ways we miss the presence of God around us. I know I am often distracted and busy, and I'm sure there are many times I miss seeing God, seeing him in my midst, in my presence. And I don't want to be like those religious leaders and miss him. It is not the authorities, religious or otherwise, who recognize and accept this king, but it is the strangers, the poor, the displaced, the oppressed. The kingdom of God does not come to bolster the reign of the powerful, but to subvert it. The kingdom of God does not come to reinforce the status quo, but to turn it upside down. And that's quite uncomfortable to think about in our society, in our lives. The term gospel originally meant good news from the empire, namely, when a new territory was conquered or when an elite child was born, the gospel would be proclaimed that this new thing had happened. But in the gospels, the term is changed to mean good news to the poor. The word Advent originally meant the coming of a royal person or a high dignitary. But the Gospels change that meaning to the coming of the poor Jesus of Nazareth. Epiphany originally meant the abrupt manifestation or showing up of a sovereign to inspect a subordinate. But the Gospels change the meaning to the appearance of the poor Jesus of Nazareth to inspect the powerful. Changes everything upside down. The incarnation, the epiphany, the message, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus all serve to show us that God's kingdom is different, that God's values are different to the world's values, that God's love and grace are for the reconciliation of all of creation, not just a small chosen elite. Our challenge is to be people who have seen the epiphany of Christ Jesus, just as the wise men, and to have the understanding that Christ's appearance and his life, death, resurrection, and ascension are the revelation of God's plan to reconcile all people. The church is called to be the community where the world still encounters God in human lives. The church is called to be the community where the world still encounters God in human lives. How will you be the manifestations of who God is in this community? Let's just take a moment to consider how we might live our lives differently, to show the presence of God in this world, in the same way that Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Who does God want to love through us? Who does God want to clothe through us? Who does God want us to welcome and care for through us? Amen.